We're going to be in the book of Revelation, the first chapter to start with. I'm going to read verse number 19 just to kind of get us started this morning. The Lord has told John here as he writes this wonderful, wonderful book. He says in verse 19, "Write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches." You'll notice there in verse number 19, he tells him to do three things, tells him to write three different things. He said, the things that you have seen, and that is covered in chapter 1, okay? The things that you have seen is covered in chapter 1. And then he said, the things that are, and that is covered in chapter 2 and 3. That's the chapters that cover the letters to the seven churches. That's what was at that time. And then he said, the things that'll be hereafter. And that is covered, of course, from chapter 4 on through the end of the book of Revelation. So I just kind of wanted to kind of give that to you so you'd understand that John here is following the instructions of the Lord, and he's writing exactly what the Lord has told him to do. Now, over in chapter 20, we'll just turn over there, but then you will be ready. But in chapter 20, we want to just talk a little bit about the judgment seat of Christ this morning. And, you know, there's actually basically two judgments, basic judgments, that's coming in the future here. One of them is the judgment seat of Christ. That's for all believers. That's for all believers. The other one is the great white throne judgment. And I'm going to read a little bit about that in just a moment. But at the judgment seat of Christ, there is no one, absolutely no one, that goes to hell at that judgment. That's already been taken care of. Jesus has died for our sins. Amen. Boy, I want you to remember that. He's already died for our sins. He's justified us. And that word justified, one man said, I think it's good, it's just as if you'd never sinned. Because the justification of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he died for our sins, you see. And at that judgment, no unsaved people will be present. It'll just be God's people, okay? Just remember, they won't be present. The God's people will be present at that judgment. And, of course, the judgment seat of Christ concerns the service of believers. And at that judgment, determination on reward will be made. That's what will be made at that judgment. And, of course, this will take place. We discussed the rapture last week. It'll take place right after the rapture. Soon after the rapture, we'll be raptured up to be with the Lord and in heaven, and that judgment then will take place. I think it'll take place before the marriage supper of the Lamb, because he's going to present unto himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Okay? So he's going to have everything taken care of. So that, remember, is not a judgment of sin. The judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment of sin. That was taken care of when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and he died on the cross for you. Okay? Sin has been taken care of. All right? You got to remember that, because old Satan will get you all in an uproar and thinking that you're going to have to put up with this and do this. The judgment seat of Christ is for the works of the believer, how he served God, I think it's a very important judgment, and we need to realize what happens there, because folks, it's what we're going to be for the rest of eternity. We put too much emphasis on today and down here. But you got to remember, we're going to live with Jesus for eternity, forever. Okay? And that's what's going to determine our eternity. Okay? I know we're going to be with him, but this judgment seat of Christ is very, very, very important. And we need to realize that. Now, and I'm just going to read this. We're not going to stay on this, but in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, I'm going to start reading at verse number 7. And it says, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison." You remember, he was put in a prison for 1,000 years during the reign of Jesus Christ. Then he says, "And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." Can you imagine that? For that 1,000 years that Jesus is going to reign on this earth, he said they're going to be those as the sand of the sea in that 1,000 years that will gather themselves together with Satan. You know, that's hard for me to understand that, but that's what the Bible says, and it's the truth. So he says in verse 9, "And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." A very short statement there, talking about what's going to happen. They're going to gather themselves together around Jerusalem, around the great city, and God's going to send fire down from heaven and devour them. Okay? Doesn't take long. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are." You remember 1,000 years before that, they was cast into the lake of fire. You remember that? In the scriptures. "And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." It's going to be forever and ever. Folks, that's serious business. I mean, you know, I think people just take it too lightly sometimes. No, that's forever. It's forever and ever. And then he says, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, and from whose face and earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Now that there is the great white throne judgment. We're not going to discuss that really today, but I just kind of wanted to read that to share with you about that really that very terrible time. Now, sins in the judgment seat of Christ, sins are not displayed because they were justified when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Amen. He was justified, they was washed away, they was cleansed. And sins in the judgment seat of Christ is not going to be dealt with because Jesus already dealt with them. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It's a precious thing, you see. So it's just as if I never sinned. Amen? Don't you like that? Amen. I do too. Now, over in the book of Romans, we're going to probably just go ahead and turn over to the book of Romans, the fifth chapter. The fifth chapter of the book of Romans, verse number 1. This here is talking about us being justified, us being washed, us being cleansed. And he says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That happened when, of course, when he died on the cross, and we then believed upon him, and we were justified. We were made as though we had never sinned. That's a marvelous thing. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And at this judgment, the reason I'm stressing that, I want you to understand that sin is not going to be dealt with at the judgment seat of Christ. It's what, how we lived our Christian life. Okay? I mean, you can call it sin, you can do whatever you want to with it, but it's how we lived our Christian life. And let me say to you, that's going to be, and this is important, that's going to be for me, that's going to be for you, okay? That's going to be for you. I'm not going to stand up there beside Donna. She'll stand up there before the Lord herself, before Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And each one of us need to realize that. I am going to have to answer for my Christian life. And so will you. Okay? Okay? Because you've got to remember, you and I both are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and face him. This is important. Okay? Very, very important. And so we are justified from sin. Sin is past. God took care of that when Jesus died. But then in Romans, the 8th chapter of Romans, I think it's the 33rd verse, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who could lay anything to our charge? God justified us. Okay? Made us as though we had never sinned. So who's going to lay any charge? It was God that justified. Who's going to lay any charge against us? You understand what he's saying? Okay. And then in chapter 8, verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, those that are in Christ Jesus walk after the Spirit. Okay? And there is no condemnation for anyone who is in Christ. No condemnation of sin. Okay? Does it make you feel better? Amen? It does. There is no condemnation. No, no, no. For the Lord took care of that when he died on the cross at Calvary. And he washed it clean. Okay? All right. Now, I'm going to read to you a verse from John, the 5th chapter, the 24th verse of the 5th chapter of John. If you want to turn over there, that's fine. But he says, and that's chapter 5, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You see, as he says again, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. I know sometimes that's hard to grasp, but that's what Jesus did for us. See, he did it all. He paid for all of our sin and made us clean as though we had never ever sinned. Okay? Well, you say, what's this judgment seat of Christ then about? It's about how we live the Christian life. Okay? It's not determining how hot hell's going to be for us, because hell will never be for the Christian. No, no, no. Thank God. You see, Jesus has washed our sins away. And hell is out of the picture for us. I like that. So just get that in your mind, okay, and remember that. Now, he says there is no punishment for believers' sin because Christ was judged for our sin 2,000 plus years ago. None whatsoever. All right, now, in Titus, the second chapter of Titus, in verse 14, he says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You see, we are redeemed from all iniquity. I mean all iniquity. You like that?
Amen.
That's all iniquity, okay? But are we responsible for how we live the Christian life? Yes, we are. And we're going to have to answer for that. We're going to have to stand before Jesus Christ and answer for that. Amen? Now, have you got that in your mind up here? Okay? We're going to have to stand before Jesus Christ. And that's why your preacher gets up here and he preaches at us and he tells us what we ought to do according to the Bible, where we ought to be on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and the things we ought to do on visitation and all of those things, because it's important. You understand? It's important, you see. So just keep that in your mind. In Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, the 6th verse, he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. On who? Jesus Christ. He laid it on him. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, yes it is. It's a wonderful thing. Wonderful truth. So anyway, then in Isaiah the 43rd chapter, the 25th verse, he says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. I like that. You see, our sins are blotted out and forgiven and cleansed. They're gone forever. Don't let old Satan get to you on this, okay? When Jesus died, he died for everybody's sin. When he died for my future sins. My sins were in the future. But he died for them. Amen? Now, are you feeling better? Amen. I like that. All right. Now, let's go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And I'm going to read verse 10. Here's where he's talking about the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? In verse number 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Now that sounds, to some degree, there like, you know, it's, well, it was either good or evil, but that's not what he's talking about there. And we'll show you. Because he says we all must appear. You know what that means? That means, Mrs. Whittington, you'll have to appear. Brother Tom, Stephanie, and I could just keep going. Each one of us individually will have to stand before the Lord and answer to our Lord. Okay? Amen? You see, every single one of us will. Okay? All must appear, you see. And you notice, because the word appear means to be made manifest or turned inside out. Nothing will be missing. All right, Jesus Christ will judge our behavior as believers. Okay? And the responsibilities that he has given us. Okay? Opportunities that we could have had. All right? You understand? It's important you do. Okay? It's very important that you and I understand this. You see, because you're not going to answer for me. And I'm not going to answer for you. We're going to answer for us. Amen? All right. Then, you notice he says, before the judgment seat of Christ. The word seat there means bema. It's the bema stone. It's the place of judgment. In fact, they said there was one outside of the town of Corinth, but there was other ones also that they would have every 2 or 3 years. They would have these professional athletes, and they would have to be agreed that they would take a whole year in preparation for this, and they would be in training and preparation, getting ready for this big event that was set for a certain time of the year. And then they would all come. They was professional athletes, and they would come, and they would do whatever it was that they was going to do, and they would be a multitude of judges, and the judges would judge them. And when it seemed like one of them was one that looked like he was going to win, they would have to get all of the judges together, and they would have to agree that he had not made any mistakes in the rulings and what he had done, and that he had done it right and proper. And when they decided this, they found out who the one was. They would bring him down to the city square, and where there was about a 40-foot long stone and about 20 foot wide and about 8 foot in the air, and they would bring him there, and they would award him. This was not for anything negative, but it was all positive. It was for honor, and they would award him as the winner. Now, there's a lot of judges that took place in that, but in ours, there's only going to be one judge. One judge. And he will be perfect. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He will make no mistakes whatsoever. Amen?
Amen.
And we all will have to stand before him. Every one of us. See, that's why it's important that you and I deal with our Christian life, because we're going to have to stand and answer for it. I mean, you understand that? At the Bema seat, judgment seat of Jesus Christ, we are going to have to stand and give an account. Okay? So we must individually make sure that we are serving the Lord, and we are doing what we should do. Now remember, this is for God's people. Okay, this is not for the lost. This is for God's people. And that we are minding the Lord in what he has given us to do. Okay? All right, you won't be accountable, unless you're a preacher in here, you won't be accountable as I am for what I'm accountable for. You understand? But I will be accountable. Amen. But you will be too. You will be too. For exactly what God has called you for and given you to do, you will be accountable. Understand? See, that's very, very important, because Jesus is the one who's going to judge. He's the only one. He's going to judge. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? Yeah. You say, well, Brother Ross, he going to judge me for how I preach? Not if you're not a preacher. No, no. But he's going to judge you for what he's given you to do. And he's given everybody something to do. Amen? Sure he has. So just keep that in mind. Okay? Just keep that in mind. Because you and I both will have to stand before the Lord. We'll stand before him. Okay? It's called the judgment seat of Christ. All right. See, and it says that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he had done, whether it be good or bad. Now, that there is a little bit, maybe by the English language, a little bit misleading. Whether it's good, and that means acceptable, or whether it's bad, and that means unacceptable. Okay? Acceptable or unacceptable for the Lord's work. And that's where I'm afraid. I'm just saying this. I'm afraid there's a lot of Christians that have put in so much emphasis on this earth's treasures that they forget. That's not what this is all about. It's about the eternal treasures. Treasures in heaven. Amen? You see, and we need to remember that. You need to remember that. I need to remember that. That's what we're going to be judged for. Okay? So anyway, just keep that in mind, because neglect of duty or of some opportunity that we may have had may cause that which God had given us to do to be unrewardable. He won't be able to reward us for it. Okay? So we better all get our lives in order and live according to what the Lord has given you and I to do. Okay? All right. I don't know how that would be, but I would think it would be a little bit difficult to stand before the Lord and him saying, why didn't you serve me? Oh my. You know, because folks, it isn't about this earth. I know you have to work. I know all of those things. But it's all got to be according to the will of God. All right? All right. And then, you see, is there going to be some sadness at the judgment seat of Christ? And I will say yes, there will be. Listen to what he says in 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, who's he talking to? Little children, to his children, he says, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. The Bible speaks that there's going to be those who will be ashamed at his coming. Boy, I wouldn't want that to be me, would you? Would you? Yeah, I didn't say it wasn't going to be. I said I would not want it to be me, to be ashamed at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see. Then also, I think the rewards or lack of rewards will tell us about our lives throughout the ages of eternity. Okay? I don't see anything in heaven where you get a chance to move up. I think it's going to be decided when Jesus judges us. Okay? It's going to be decided. And that's for every single one of us. Okay? That's for me. It's for you. Okay? So just remember that. And then in Romans, the 12th chapter, 19th verse, he says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. The Lord's the one that's going to take care of all vengeance. He's the one who'll take care of that. I read a little thing the other day, and I thought it was interesting. This man said, you know, I believe at the judgment seat of Christ, somewhere in there, any false accusations that's been made against us, and I'm talking about from the religious standpoint, he said, the Lord will straighten that out one of these days. Now, I don't know that for sure. I really don't, but I just thought that was interesting. Because he's going to take care of all of those things. And I'm afraid sometimes they maybe won't be as many false accusations as we wanted to claim. You and I want to be careful. We want to make sure that we are living correctly and rightly before the Lord. This man by the name of Earl Radmacher said this. He said, the person I am becoming today is preparing me for the person I shall be for all eternity. That's a pretty good statement, isn't it? And that's what he's doing. He's preparing us today for eternity. Amen? All right. I've had a lot of Christians tell me this. They said, I really don't care about eternal rewards. Let me say to them, that's a bunch of hogwash. Because those same people are now searching for earthly rewards, striving after the earthly rewards. Don't tell me you're not going to care about the eternal rewards. Amen. That's a whole different world out there. Amen. So anyway, our choice right now is to serve the Lord. That's our choice, whether we're going to serve the Lord or not. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. In verse number 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stones, you see, he got those three, and then he says, or wood, hay, or stubble. He said, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Did you notice up here in gold and silver and precious stones? Fire will not burn them. Wood, hay, and stubble, fire will burn them up. Okay? Now, in verse 14, if any man's work abide which he had built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You see what's going to happen, and we've talked about this before, not going to dwell on it, but it's the eyes, I believe, of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that will just look upon us and judge our works. You know, just because we have good works does not mean we're going to get a reward for them. It's the motive in why we did them. See, that's so important. You must understand that. What was the motive in which we did these good works? Was it for our benefit or for the Lord's benefit? Amen? You understand what I'm saying? You see, and they're just going to burn up if it was not for the benefit of the Lord. Just going to burn up. Okay? And so anyway, the word work that I just read is used quite a few times in those verses that I read to you. And that's what he's going to judge, our work for the Lord. Okay? We don't get saved by works, but we get saved to work. Amen. Yeah, we do. We get saved to work. So just remember that. I think I'm just about done here. In Ephesians, the second chapter, the 10th verse, he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." The purpose for the child of God is to work for God. Do that what God has given you to do. Amen? It's all different. Okay? You're not a preacher? That's all right. But do the work of God. Do the things that God has given you to do. All right, can you be a witness? Yes, you and I better be. That's the command of the Lord, is for us to witness for him. Go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. Well, I hope that's helped. I'm going to have to close. Father, thank you again today. You're good to us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your kindness. Thank you for Jesus, our precious Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.